Christ,
that we have the mind of Christ,
who has the mind of the Lord, and can we help?
That is instruction, now we have the mind of Christ. Verse 16, and you have that one also, from verse 10 to 16, so that all these things he reminded the believers at Corinth, that they should realize that the gospel and its influence are entirely dependent on God. God's own work, and it is God's own means to bring results from the gospel ministry, so that whatever whichever people he uses, and however they're able to preach, so long as they preach the gospel purely, it is God alone who bring this effect upon them. And God, the Spirit of God, is the third person of Trinity, so that through God's through his influence, when he illuminates people's mind, they're able to receive the gospel. And then this truth says in the people's heart, it is only the gospel that's able to bring conversion, able to bring salvation to sinners. So, and it is entirely of God and his own means to bring good effect on the heart of men when they hear the gospel. So tonight we will begin with chapter 3, and our subject for this part, I think we can look at from verse 1 to 7, and it's babies in Christ. We are thinking of babies in Christ, and we will see that Apostle Paul will prove the partisan spirit of this church at Corinth, as it was not, he would try to tell them, it doesn't really suit their persons as spiritual people who have come to know the Lord, and because salvation makes believers different from the world. It brings different mindsets, it brings different attitudes with how we speak and everything to believers. So that those who have been brought, whom Christ have saved, those that have come to repent of their sin and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, his work on the cross of Calvary, their hearts are changed and they are made to have different mindsets and attitudes even while they live in this world. So that we ought, if we are believers, we ought not to continue in our old former life, as we have in 2 Corinthians chapter 17. Chapter 3 verse 17, so I speak that they that are in Christ are new creatures. It is that to be saved, we have been brought into a new life, and which is a life of Christ, which moves us to live holy life. So here Apostle Paul will try to prove the attitude which really was not suitable, was not comely to persons who are spiritual. And then he touches on some few things also, so that we realize that to ourselves how we have to also process things and how we have to also act as believers if we are one of those who are saved by Christ. So I'll begin with verse 1. It says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." So, if we can remember in chapter 1, from verse 10 to 13, he has touched on their divisions and their quarrels. So, he seems to pick it up again to speak on that matter. And here, again, he reproves them against their quarrels, which, as I said, he touched in chapter 1, verse 10 to 13. He said that, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." So here he calls them brethren. So that's what is very important for the start, because meaning they were believers, they were genuine Christians, and so he was speaking to believers here. And sometimes, because the word he used concerning their condition, some people think that, well, Apostle Paul doubted their conversion, but he will never call unbelievers brethren. You see, I remember in James we had a similar expression where James would prove the misconduct or disorderliness of believers, and he called them brethren, and then he would point out the various wrong conduct and which tells us, and indeed the Bible doctrine that believers, we have our flesh with us, we have our bodies, we are not immune to sinful conduct. It's only the difference is that we have the power, we have the strength to overcome our sinful conduct. We have the Spirit with us, and He's ever through the Word directing us how we overcome ourselves, so that we are not free from the sins of people. But we can never, if we are genuine believers, be slave to any sin. We can never be habitual sinners as the worldling or unbelievers, because the Spirit will not allow us. God will not allow us. So, as I said, he picks up the same idea from chapter 1, verse 10 to 13. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. So here, carnal persons, I mean, he's used this word carnal, in reference to them, he could not speak to them as spiritual, but as to carnal persons, that is, people or persons that are, who are influenced by their fleshly senses. People who are worldly, that is carnal, and their purpose or their desires are all about this life and for this day, for the body. That's the term for them. They are influenced by worldly things. So that here he said that he by the attitude, he cannot speak to them as spiritual, people who are believers, but those as if they were unbelievers. That's what he says. He cannot speak to them as believers. So here, when he referred to the believers at Corinth as such, he doesn't mean that they were not unregenerate. They were not unbelievers, though he referred to them as, they are acting as carnal persons, but they are not unbelievers. He means that they are behaving like the unregenerate, like the worldly. So it's like he's calling them, you are worldly, I cannot speak to you as believers, but as worldly unbelievers. It's not that they were unbelievers, but because they were acting, they were becoming like worldly. Their attitude that he was going to talk about, I mean, resemble the attitude of the world, unbelievers. So you see, so it's like he wants to speak to them as if they were unregenerate, as if people who have never believed the Lord, believed in the gospel, people whose heart has never been changed. And then he added on that, even as unto babes in Christ. And actually this one helps us more, because the as he referenced them as carnal persons, actually if he stopped there, it would have been something serious. I mean, oh, then this carnal, but then he said as babies in Christ, qualifying his reference that as being as babies in Christ. And here babes is used in the figurative sense. He meant that those who are immature in the Christian life, or who are immature believers, also about the novice. Remember in Apostle Paul's letters to Timothy, I mean, for the qualification of bishop said that not they shouldn't, I mean, select a novice, which is a reference to a new convert, a new believer in the Lord. So here, babes in Christ, here he's referencing to them as if they are even immature in their Christian life. Why is he, I mean, using this? But as I said, they have shown a conduct which is of worldly. And again, these babes in Christ, you know that the Corinthian believers were not, I mean, novice, as we know, because Apostle Paul been spent almost 2 years there, and then he left, and later on he wrote this letter to them. So at least some years has come, and so they are supposed to grow. And also, we see the gifts Apostle Paul will touch on, which they have, and even the kind of things they're able to, and they were actually a complete church. They had their elders and officers. So they were not, I mean, merely babes, but then they were, their condition, he said that we speak to them even as babes, as if they are immature Christians, they are immature believers. So they are not acting, they are not growing, they are not acting as mature Christians. Because he look at them, they have been saved for some time. And he expects, I mean, better conduct from them. He expects, some people who are really growing in Christ, you see. That's what he's trying to say. But he look at their conduct and they still remain, as if they are immature. Despite all the gifts they have and so much of knowledge, was in the beginning of chapter 1, I remember he spoke of the knowledge they have and their kind of, that they were not behind any church, you see. He praised their church, but then they were acting as immature Christians, you see. They were acting as immature Christians. And he said, I'll read to you verse 1 again. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So here, as I said, he intends to speak to them, not to to, at least, as far as he said, as unto carnal, which seems to reference that they were not believers, as their action was like believers. And then he thinks of their maturity also as babes. So it's like they are not manifesting any, I mean, as if they are not living spiritual, as a spiritual person. So he adapted, he said that he would speak to them as a beginners in the Christian life. You see, they ought to grow. You see, as I said, believers, if we come in, we have been saved for some time, and we ought to grow. You know, the Christian life, like, we don't look at the physical life of a person, how do we grow? Then also, each and every day, week, and month, and years, we grow physically. In spiritual matters, spiritual life also, we grow. Though we don't see with our physical eyes, but our growth has to do with our thinking, has to do with how we react to matters and how we process things, you see. Are they in line with the truth of gospel? So, these believers have been saved for some time, but they were not growing. They were not making any progress. They were not manifesting Christian attitudes that were so suitable for spiritual persons. But now they are behaving like what the world means, and apostles are grouping them. So, as I hinted, like, the Christian growth has to do with how we think and act. Are we believers, and how do we think and act? Because he will touch on the attitude, but which has to do with how they reacted in those matters. So we think of how are we, ever since the Lord saved us, have we seen, and not just, I mean, the major things of our life, the little things of our actions and our conduct, have we seen any progress in that? Are we making progress? Are we making progress in every aspect of our life? We have to make progress, especially in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20, when he was also touching on this spiritual gift about tongues and that. He cautioned them. He said, brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. Be not children in understanding. When it comes to discernment and also Christian knowledge and how we have to grow in understanding everything, we all want to be children. We see how children process things. Children, they don't really think of things really well, because they don't have so much experience. Their knowledge are limited because they have many things they react and do. So that the believer should not be act like a child in how he discerns things and how he processes things. But in malice, be children. When it comes to wickedness and sin, we should be like children who cannot really do so much. You see how Apostle Paul thinks of it. In malice, be ye children, but in understanding, be men. In our discernment, in our thinking, and our judgment of things, we should be Christians. We should have that clear understanding about things with the knowledge of Scripture. Scripture principles should really lead our thinking. Here am I, I'm a Christian. This issue have come to my life. I have to make a decision. How do I process it? Do I just pick it up and begin to think? Or I sit down and reason through. What Bible's principle really direct how do the Bible speak about this matter? What are the examples I can really pick, and what life can I get to think? I don't just get up and, like how the worldly people think, well, maybe I have money to solve it, I will solve it, or I have other means to do it. No. The Christians sit down. So Apostle Paul says, brethren, be not children in understanding. And our judgment, our thinking of things, and how our knowledge of things, of our spiritual, the Christian life, we shouldn't be children, we should grow. You see, it comes with the scripture knowledge, and then practice, thinking through matters with what we have learned. You see, and in that part, we should not be children. But he said that by having in malice, when it comes to sin, we should be like children. When they do things, they don't really. But you see how unbelievers and sinners really plan and really want to sin. Children often do things, they don't even think of it. They just do it. You see? But when it comes to wickedness, unbelievers really sit down and plan. You see, we shouldn't be those who really I mean, we should that we are mature in sin. We should show that we are not really people who are so much. We have our thoughts and our desires so much motivated by sin. So here it is. So and this for us to be mature in understanding, it has to do with our progress in the Christian life. But what he's touching on concerning the Corinthians, it has to do with understanding and how they process things. I mean, with Christian principle. Because if they had done so, they would have come to this position where Apostle Paul referred to them as acting as worldly, acting as thought immature. If they had really, discerned things and acted aright, they would have shown that their maturity. You see, so we ought to, grow in that. Verse 2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. Remember that he has referred to them as babes. So as he is like, he continued the same metaphor. Babes and milk, that also. Babes and milk. Babes feed on milk and adults don't feed on meat and that. But here he tells us, he connects milk. He says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. And for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet are ye able. So he connects this part to what he has said previously. And here it has to do with how the believers responded to his teaching. You see, they have been saved to the gospel he preached to them. You know, to be a Christian, it's not merely I'm saved. There are other things of the gospel. There are so many doctrines of the gospel bring to our mind which shape our thinking and everything. So that we don't just say, well, I believe in Christ and that is all. No. We have to fully embrace everything the gospel of Christ teaches us. So that he's saying that if they have responded to his teachings right, they wouldn't remain in the same way they are now. They wouldn't show these signs of carnality. So I fed you with milk, so that he has taught them, he meant to say that he has taught them the doctrines of the gospel in a manner that was suitable to new converts. His instructions to them was not, he was talking to them, he was teaching the doctrines in a manner that were so high that they cannot even understand it. He taught in a way they could really process it and understand. I have fed you with milk. We know that babies are given milk, is easily digestible. So that we don't give, babies hard food, they can't even eat it, so to talk of digest. So, in reference to his teaching, he taught them in a manner that were really suitable to their cases. So that if they had taken this as simple, and so how he simplified his teaching to them, how he brought the teaching, though the same truth of the gospel, he wouldn't teach anything like that, repentance, like faith in Christ, and self-denial, everything. But then, he taught them like how we instruct Sunday school children. We don't teach them the same way we teach those who are probably true believers in Christ. We speak to also new believers in Christ who are yet learning about the things of Christ. We don't teach them the same thing that those who are matured, who can process things and really understand. We don't try to use the same kind of how we teach them in the same way. We teach children in a way they are able to understand. For instance, how do we teach children? We give examples. We use a lot of images. That's why even when I teach a Sunday school, we have to bring images and graphics to try to bring the message to their mind. But when we are teaching adults or let's say believers, we don't use that. You see. So for the children, the same truths are taught to them, but then we use, in a manner that's able to come, so that they're able to understand it. So if they are fed with milk, the same truth, the same gospel truth. So I've read some people saying that he said that milk, as if the gospel truth, he taught them some parts and he left some parts. No, this Corinthian believer, he has left there. He has taught them remember in Ephesus, he told the elders that he has instructed them in everything by the counsel of God. You see, so he would teach them everything, but then in a manner that was they were able to take it in, and not with meat. That is the gospel, the doctrines of the gospel he taught them. He taught not as if he was teaching maybe mature believers, but as to their case as new converts. We know that milk belonged to babes, and meat belongs to grown-ups. That also. So as I'm giving that illustration, where, for example, when we are instructing Sunday school children, we use, let's say, graphics and other things to teach them, but we don't, I mean, teach the same way to those who are, I mean, who are grown-ups. So he just telling them that he taught them. So the feeding has to be the teaching. He taught them in a manner that was that should be able to help them to really grasp the thing he taught them. But they were acting as if what he taught them, they couldn't really grip it have a hold on the thing he taught them. So as if they have even forgotten the thing he has taught them. And we know that, I mean, the gospel doctrine, there are many doctrines in the gospel. We have the atonement of Christ. He would see them this truth about Christ and his atoning sacrifice. He wouldn't put this aside that they cannot understand, but he would use language in a manner that is suitable to their case. He would speak to them about justification by faith. He would speak to them about the new birth, redemption, repentance, faith, self-denial, everything that they need to know to become Christians, and even to progress. He would teach them everything of it. There's no way he will undermine those teachings. And also, he will teach them about evidence of conversion, so that they will also know that they are converted. But then, as he said, have fed you with milk. He fed them, he taught them in a manner that will really, I mean, make the message easier for them to take it in. You see, we don't know how the Corinthians were in education, and that, but it was a city that they were educated. So, probably, as he said, he taught them in the he knew their cases. You see, like for instance, you are going to talk to somebody who is an atheist, and somebody who is not an atheist. He goes to a church goer. You see, these two people, you talk to them, you teach them about the same doctrines of the gospel. You at the end of the day, you bring their mind to faith in Christ, but you have a manner how you deal with atheists, and a manner how you deal with somebody who have been coming to church, but well, he is not yet. He have been hearing the gospel all the time. You speak to them about the gospel and Christ, but then you make your words suitable to their cases. You see, roughly that example of Paul is trying to put up here. So the doctrines were taught, but in a manner suitable to their cases. But he said that, even in that way that he taught them, how he really brought it to the level that they can really process it. For hitherto you were not able to bear, neither yet now are you able. Even in how he really brought it so that they're able to take it in. Even so that up to now you have not really able to understand this. They said that is why you are acting like that. Because if you have really embraced the gospel and how he taught them, if they have really received it as it is entirely, they wouldn't be acting as they were. So he said, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. I didn't really teach you in a manner that you cannot really process it. You could. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. Ever since you have preached to you, you are not able to come to a full understanding of it. So that this is a rebuke to their dullness and negligence. They seem to be dull. So they are not making any progress in their understanding about the knowledge of the gospel truth. So that they have not improved in this truth Apostle taught them. Because if they have really embraced the gospel, I mean, the truth entirely, it should have shaped entirely of their conduct. They couldn't be such people who will come and act as if they are worldly. So that's what he's saying. I have fed you, I have taught you in a manner that should help you to understand and really be able to understand it, but then you are, up till now, you are not able to really make progress and to really show that you are spiritual, though you are spiritual persons, you see. What he's telling them is not that they are not Christians, but how they are dull to make progress, you see. There are many things that, as a time, when he heard the message about their division and other things, and if they had really been making progress in their understanding, whatever he taught them should help them to really overcome such a carnal attitude towards them. So let's remember that the gospel truth, the truth of the gospel, are not only for the head. You see, they are to shape our thinking and our feelings and actions. It's not merely enough to say, well, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I am saved. the truth of the gospel, as I said, there are so many, truth of the gospel. You see, it should shape our thinking. It should shape our feelings. It should also shape our actions. Here am I, a believer, and I'm in a church of the Lord's people. How do I relate to others? If I'm a genuine believer, somebody to say genuine believer, the gospel should shape our understanding and our things so that we will all act in a manner that will honor the Lord. See, but if I'm saved and I'm not being shaped by the gospel truth, you see, I'll be in a church, but then I'll be making, a lot of confusion here and there, and then I wouldn't be able to really walk around with other brothers. So I should also be processing things. As other brothers are processing things spiritually, I should also be able to do so. So that both spiritual and spiritual will be different walk, and that we see that cordiality in the church, that unity in the church. But when others are not trying to process things spiritually, then you see that discord even among believers. So the only way we can be certain that we are making progress is in our understanding and how we make these things, the truth of the gospel shapes our thinking. It's in our understanding. When we're able to use this truth that we've learned to really shape our thinking and our behavior, then it shows that we are making progress. Because if we learn, read the Bible, we hear sermons, and it doesn't really help us to improve in our Christian life, then we are like we say, like Oshoko, feeding. We have a child, then you give all the food in the world, the nutrient, then it's not making any growth. See? So that's the stuff. So Apostle Paul is just trying to have really taught you in a way that it should help you to make progress, so that if you are not making progress, it is your fault. That's what he's trying to tell them. Like feeding a child, you take your time to feed him or her, and then the child never grows. Then it's his body, it is the child's body, not the feed you are giving to the child. That's what was Paul trying to teach them. So, in connection to his teaching for them, verse 3 to 4, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? So here, he's applying for order. He has used figures to try to show them how they are not making progress, how they are dull, and now he points to them the kind of attitude that is make sure that they are carnal. For he said that there is among you envy and strife and division. So this is the first thing he points out. So this, well, the carnal, as I've already explained, fleshly inclination, that is worldly, attitude. So that is, it is influencing the actions. It is influencing the action. The carnal, the worldly thinking is still influencing the actions. And that they are not making progress in their spiritual walk. So here, as he said that, he mentioned the particular worldly behaviors, envy and strife. These are envies and strife. You know that is, if you go to Galatians chapter 5, envies and strife, and it has to do with fleshly, works of the flesh, and how those who are being born again, now, living in a way that's manifesting the flesh of the works of the flesh. So, it shows their carnality. So, that the envies and strife. Envies and strife, and it shows that the heart has not totally been given up to the Lord. Though they have been saved, but they are not yielding. You see, so believers can come to that position in life where they seem to entertain worldliness. And what happens to them? They begin to act like the worldly. Though they may be believers, though we have hypocrites who may show that they are Christian, but then their actions are worldly, that persons are also the bad. A genuine Christian can also come to that place where, because it's not growing in the Christian life, then he becomes to manifest a lot of worldly, attitude, envy and strife. See, so, and this envy and strife will definitely bring divisions. Then also, And why is it? And divisions. And he added that, why is it that one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. Are you not carnal? So the quarrels and this partisanship are works of the flesh. You are showing that there's kind of envy and there's kind of strife among you and divisions. And now there's also this, you are now aligning yourself to the various preachers you have heard who have ministered to you. One say I'm Paul, one say I'm of Apollos, others here, others there. There could have been that there were other people they were also, dividing themselves into. They were joining them, they were putting themselves into. But Apostle Paul may have used himself and Apollos. Maybe they were the divisions about them were so high in the church, probably. Because, Apostle Paul really preached them, and Apollos came to also minister afterwards. But then they have divided themselves into various ministers of who have been useful to them about the word of God. And then he tells them, these things are flesh. Are you not carnal? If these things are prevailing among you, are you not carnal? So you see that they ought not to have gone to that condition. They ought to have manifested, a better life, better conduct as believers. But they have, gone down to this state, which shows they are being influenced by worldly thinking. Because all attitudes begins with our thinking. That also, when we don't process things are right, we act not right. So they have, divided themselves under this. So he questions them, are you not carnal? For where are there among you envies and strife and divisions? Are you not carnal? Sometimes in the church there should be divisions. For instance, when people who may have be working disorderly in the church, if we are Christian, we have to separate ourselves from them. But their division here is moved by a wrong word, motives. It's not a right division. So this division was not right. It's about just parties, dividing themselves to, parties in the church where there's kind of, cliques and groups in the church. Where the church has to be one, people are divided into various groups. So here, as I said, he touches on he actually gives example of their carnality, envy, strife, and divisions. Okay, so verse 5, and he goes on to tell them, he and Apollos, or those that they divided themselves under, they are just instruments that God gives. They are not supposed to, it is their thing, if they were processing things right as believers, they wouldn't have even aligned themselves to any of these, preachers or ministers of the word. Verse 5, who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom he believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. So, here, Paul and Apollos, Paul used himself and Apollos, as I said, he said, why do you, align yourself to, each one of us so that there's divisions among you? We are just ministers. The word minister here, servants. They were the Lord's servants. They came to do the Lord's work among them. They didn't come there so that the church of Christ would be divided among them. No, who are they? They were just servants. They were just servants who came to do their work. By whom you believed. Through their preaching, you came. Apostle Paul, you mentioned that he planted, which has to be so. But then, they really taught you so that you can come to the knowledge of the truth. Even as the Lord gave to every man. Because, it is the Lord that gives grace and everything so that they're able to preach or teach His word. So that all the credit should go to the Lord. It's not, any minister, every preacher has been of help to us. They shouldn't be those that we align ourselves with. They have led us to the Lord. So the Lord that we think and we honor and glorify. So here, they seem to align themselves to the various preachers. And they're able to do this because they were not processing things right. You see, they were acting as babes in Christ. They were not, in fact, Apostle Paul and Apollos wouldn't promote anyone but the Lord Jesus Christ. So if they have taken the message, they have to have really gone after the Lord Jesus Christ, not onto any of the preachers. So you see, they have rather, it's like sometimes you talk to someone about some lessons, and even maybe use something as an example, which you are not intending that the person's mind should go to example, just to illustrate it. At the end of the day, all that you said about the word, the person cannot remember anything, but he can remember that, for example, you gave. It's like, you ask yourself, I remember I spoke to somebody about saying this spiritual gift, and I gave an illustration. Yes, about gift. Yes. And I will explain that a gift, I mean, God, James was talking about, gold and a perfect gift come from God. So I was telling the person that, salvation and, reconciliation with God, where the Spirit works in their hearts, this is where we're able to receive the good and perfect. After the person told me, we are thankful for the gift of God. And the reference was not to matters of salvation, like gift of life, just God blessing us with things of this life. So that the message about that good and perfect gift, what it has to do with that blessings of salvation, was totally off. You see, so it's like this people heard the gospel from this Apostle Paul and Apollos. They have left off the message about Christ. Now the ministers, the preachers, that what were the ministers? Who are they? So Apostle Paul is telling them, who then is Paul? Who then is Apollos to the Church of Christ? It is Christ who is, the head. It is he who all hearts must, and all, if we all align ourselves to Christ, there will be no divisions. You see? But if you align yourself to persons and partialities, then we don't get anywhere. So, even as the Lord gave to every man, so we are just laborers. It's the Lord who has really equipped us to serve him. We are servants. So, we are not, as I say, he and Apollos are not, there, or whatever they came, the work they came to do among them was not to really, draw people after them, is to point them to Christ. Verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So here he's using the picture of a farmer sowing and planting. And indeed, Apostle Paul says he planted, and indeed he did the work initially. He went to Corinth to preach the gospel. So it's like a farmer who goes to a land which is not cultivated. He clears the land for the trees, and he bends them up. He digs the ground to sow his seed. So Apostle Paul was the first one to preach the gospel at Corinth. He was the first one to preach the gospel at Corinth, and the gospel preaching, the preaching work is sowing. You sow the gospel to people's, you preach the word to people's hearts. The word, you remember the parable of the sower? The word, the preached word was like the seed that was sown into the hearts of men. So Apostle Paul, the one who really began the preaching there, and it was his instrumentality that many of the Corinthians came to the Lord through the gospel he preached. And it was later, we know that Apollos came there after Apostle Paul has left. So he also came to minister, but then to the same people that have embraced the gospel. So his work was like maintaining, help build them up in the knowledge of Christ, so that the watering has to do with that part of the farming work where the thing has grown up, there's the maintenance to water it so that it really grow up as it ought to be. But then, whether he who sow it or he who maintained it, the power so that the truth of the word will have, its effect is not in their hand. Like the farmer who sow his seed, the life of the seed is not in the seed. It's God who gave, life to seed that we plant. You see, we put just like a corn, we put it on the ground, then it shoots up, it germinates, and it brings up a different thing. That also, so that even with the physical work of a farmer, the increase has to come from God. It's God who really gives life to the seed that is sown. And even who has to make the, in those days where people depend on the weather, the rain and everything depends on him. And even in our time, that we don't depend on the weather. There are many factors that could cause farm work to become unproductive. And in reference to the gospel, whoever preached it, whoever continued to be nourished believers, if the word should be effective, it's come from God. The Spirit of God that should work in people's hearts, so that how good a preacher has been good, how well a preacher, has done his work in the church. Yes, we are thankful for the work of the pastor or the preacher, but then it is, if the work was done well, it will lead our heart to Christ. That's it. You see? Whoever lead us to the Savior, many of us got saved before we became members of this church. And by the time we became members of this church, we have learned the word of God together. Our faith has increased. But then whoever led us to Christ, or whoever is even helping us in the things of God, we don't matter. We are just instruments. It's God who have to. Whatever blessings we have had from the word, it's God who have done it. You see, so that's what Apostle Paul is trying to tell them. So if they were growing in their thinking, they should know that glory, all the glory has to go to God, and not any, so that they would not align themselves to any of these preachers. Then. Verse 7. So then, neither is he that planted anything, neither is he that watered it, but God that giveth the increase. So that whether the one who initiated the word, who sowed the seed, who preached the word, the gospel, the first preacher, or anyone who came to really help our faith to grow, doesn't matter. It is God that gives the increase. If the word of God has had influence in our heart, it is not the preacher, it is God who has caused it to grow in our heart. You see, so if they have really reasoned out things properly, they would have known this. Apostle went there to preach Christ and him crucified. He also he told them even how he was even weak and how he has to labor to preach the gospel. You know that this man has no power in himself. That the power comes from God whose word was preached. You see, so this is what Apostle Paul is trying to tell them. So that whoever has done any work in their bringing them to the faith of Christ or in their continuation, it is God that has caused these blessings upon their heart. So we see that if believers are processing things right, we see how even in matters how our thinking should be and how it should rather glorify the Lord. It will not really move our heart to any sinful attitude, even in the church. You see, as we know in church, sometimes people may act disorderly or disorderly in the church. It's because they might be believers. They will act so because at the point within that they never reason out things properly. If they were processing things and they were thinking of the honor of Christ, they wouldn't have done from what they did. But because sometimes people give themselves to the flesh, then begin to act disorderly, and it affects the church as these people at current date, because it brought division in the church. And then what honor will it offer to Christ that the church who claim to believe in him are now brought under this contentions, envies, and then also partisan spirit in the church? It doesn't really help the church. So that we ought not to be babes, we ought to progress. And when we progress in our Christian walk, then we'll be able to think aright and act properly. So this reproof to the babes in Christ in Corinth is to each one of us. May we also think how we ought to progress in our walk with the Lord, so that if we make progress, different our thinking will be proper. We'll process things right, and then we'll act to honor the Lord. And that selfish and fleshly sentiment will be thrown away. Everything we process well, and then the honor will be on the Lord Jesus Christ. In closing, let's